Genesis 2 verses, Genesis chapter 1 verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 tonight. Continuing with some thoughts, this theme on the Holy Spirit. And tonight just a little bit of a shift, talking more about the moving, the working, the activity of the Spirit. Amen. For Brother Darrell, for your sake, just the working or the work of the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You can see right here at the very beginning, in the beginning, at creation, the Spirit of God was actively involved in what was going on as far as creation was concerned. Even when the crown of creation, mankind, when man was created, let us, plural, let us make man in our image. That's the Trinity speaking there, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. The creation process that included the working, the moving, the activity of the Holy Spirit. We know that the word, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. I can't pronounce the Hebrew word, but it describes the hen that broods over the little chicks and the process of incubation, the hovering over, the fluttering over, the fast, quick movement of the wings of the hen that is the incubator to bring that life, the hatching of the egg, to bring it to life. That's what the Spirit of the Lord was doing there in the beginning of creation, hovering over, and the movement of the Holy Spirit. It really describes for us what goes on from the beginning of creation and continues even till today, that wherever the Holy Spirit is at and active, there is activity, there is action, there are things that are happening. If a person yields himself to be filled with the Spirit, you can be sure there will be a response. There will be activity. There will be movement and action. There's got to be a response to the moving of the Spirit of God. You look in the Old Testament, there was movement, that the Spirit of God moved upon the judges or upon the kings or upon the prophets. They responded to that. They did something. They moved. They crossed over. They went up. They went down. They spoke. They prophesied. They blew trumpets. They smashed pitchers. Whatever it was, whenever the Spirit of the Lord moved upon them, there was a response to that. Amen. And that's also true in the book of Acts and in the New Testament church. We call the book of Acts the Acts of the Apostles, but actually, to be more accurate, it is the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, the activity of the Holy Spirit through those apostles who were called and sent by God, and they responded to the voice of God and to the moving of the Spirit of God. Whenever Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, it was not Peter, it was not his natural personality being reflected that day, it was the Holy Spirit upon him that gave him power and authority to speak so boldly and to speak That message that was the initiating message there in the New Testament church. So wherever there is a moving and the working of the Spirit of God, there is response, there is activity, there is movement. And when we talk about the moving of the Holy Ghost, we really are talking about the Spirit of God working and causing us to respond to that. We move. We respond. We speak. We respond to the influence of the Spirit of God that is upon our lives. Amen. Without the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Spirit in our lives, in our church, then we're going through a formality. We're going through just human action, human activity. And it's a dangerous thing to get into a pattern of just routine. Just routine. And we need to think much beyond the routine. While we desperately need to have nothing wrong necessarily with an organized, planned service, but we also make sure that service is subjected to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We don't want our plans to be so stiff and so rigid that we have no place for the moving of the Spirit of God. There is that place, and we covet and desire those divine Holy Ghost interruptions. When God comes and moves in whatever way, when He anoints and He blesses and He moves in His service, whether it be in a song or a testimony or the preaching or the prayer time or the altar service or whatever times of the service that we're open to allowing God to say what He wants to say and to move the way that He wants to move. That's why that we covet the gifts of the Spirit and the moving of the Spirit of God. We want to see God working among us, the evidence of His Spirit, the movement as He hovers over us. And as a result, there is spiritual life that comes whenever He hovers over spiritual emptiness and darkness and death. The Spirit of God brings life. Amen. Brings life. And I tell you, it's a desperate thing whenever you try just to go through the actions of worship and the actions of a church program or a church service, and you just feel like, oh, this is just routine. We really need God's presence and God's Holy Spirit resting upon everything that we do, our outreach, our Sunday school, everything that we're attempting to do for the glory of God. We desperately need the working and the moving of the Spirit of God. Amen. We talked this morning about Jesus and His example, that He was conceived of the Holy Ghost and was born after He was conceived miraculously of the Holy Ghost. And we see that there's this parallel between the life of Christ and what should be going on in the church. That is, Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost and was born, physically born into this world, so should we have life. So should we be born again of the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost moving and bringing people to spiritual life. Born again of the Spirit. It's not just a decision to become a Christian. It's much more than that. There's a supernatural act of the Spirit of God that takes place. The Spirit of God convicts men of their sin. The Spirit of God woos them and draws them to Him and points them to Jesus, the only way that they can be saved. And there's a supernatural work that goes on. I'm convinced that there are many people who populate the pews of churches all over the country that they have given a mental assent to Christianity. They say, oh, that sounds good to me. I think I might agree with that. But that doesn't mean that you're saved. It doesn't mean that you're born again. That's an act of the Spirit of God. You're saved because you're born of the Spirit. Amen. So there's a work. There's a supernatural working of the Spirit of God to bring someone to salvation. So Jesus is our example, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born into this world miraculously. So are we born of the Spirit. He was led, as we talked about this morning, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. So are we many times led and directed of the Spirit into testing times and difficult times. But we know that we are not out, we're not in that testing crisis time of our life all alone. We know that we have the sword of the Spirit, and God has led us into a testing time because he's proving us to make us into what he wants us to be. Jesus is our example as he stood up there on that day and said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Any ministry that we have that will succeed, it only succeeds because we can say that. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach good tidings. And it is the working of the Spirit of God. Any ministry that we have is more than just intellectual. It's more than just, you know, information about the Bible. It's a work of the Spirit of God. Amen. Preaching is one thing, just to talk about the Bible or to give an outline related to the Scripture. It's more than that when it's born in prayer. It's more than that when you spend time in the presence of God and his Word. It's more than that whenever God speaks and deals and works and he prepares that sermon and makes it into a message from God, a supernatural message that speaks to the hearts of people and brings the truth home to the hearts of people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I think it's a wonderful thing, but any ministry we have is going to be born of the Spirit of God. Even the resurrection of the Lord. The Scripture says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Amen. That Spirit of the Lord will quicken. It will make alive your mortal, your physical body will be affected by that same Spirit that brought Jesus out of the grave. And so we are to be living and ministering and working as we are prompted of the Holy Spirit, as we are moved upon by this hovering of the Holy Ghost that brings spiritual life to us, the same life, the same power that brought Jesus out of the grave and caused him to be able to overcome death, is the same Holy Spirit that is available to every one of us. I think that one of the things that I have been so troubled about lately, one of them, of course, is John MacArthur's book and his conference that he initiated, Strange Fire. And it's troubled me because that there is this all-out attack against the moving of the Holy Spirit, against Pentecostals, and lumping all Pentecostals into one big group. And honestly, I have to agree that there are a lot of things that have gone on under the guise, under the name of Pentecost. Many of the things that you'll see on some of the Christian TV programs, you just wonder, where did this come from? Such strangeness. And some of it is absolutely strange fire. And it is strange and even weird. But that doesn't mean that we forsake the truth of God's Word. And it certainly doesn't mean that we would ever associate the Pentecostal outpouring in Acts chapter 2 and all throughout the book of Acts and the whole Pentecostal experience and in any way relate it to something that is non-biblical or not important. It is important. It is biblical. And as I said this morning, we stand on good, solid doctrinal foundation. Amen. To preach and teach and to believe in Pentecost. Hallelujah. I always prefer the term Pentecostal over charismatic. The association, while I understand that the word charismatic comes from the charis or the charisma, and the whole idea actually, it's the real reference is to the gifts of the Spirit and the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not saying that everybody who labels himself a charismatic is a bad or evil person, but I believe it's much more biblical to define the work of the Spirit of God in our lives as the work of Pentecost. Amen. A Pentecostal experience. That which happened on the day of Pentecost that we identify with, we believe, and we understand that Jesus told them to wait until they were endued with power from on high. And as they waited, they experienced this Pentecostal baptism, and that's what ushered the New Testament church into action and activity. It changed meek and mild and uneducated disciples and followers of Jesus into powerhouses for God. And they saw them as ignorant and unlearned. Aren't these the same disciples? They're fishermen. They're ignorant and unlearned. But they saw that they had been with Jesus. They recognized there's something supernatural that had happened in their life. Same thing as we mentioned about Peter, that Peter was not the same man when he stood up on the day of Pentecost as he was at other times in his life. While he had good intentions and he had some good qualities about him, but he made some bumbling failures in his life. But when he stood up on the day of Pentecost, this was a different man. Glory to God. And I need that. And you need that. If we're to be what the Lord wants us to be. Talking about the working of the Holy Spirit, the moving of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be used of the Lord, then you need to seek to be used of God. And I made reference this morning to the fact that I've witnessed this all of my life, been in Pentecost all of my life. I've witnessed many people seeking to be filled with the Holy Ghost as if I can ever just get through to that place that I can receive this glorious experience, that I will finally have arrived. And that's just not the truth. Because really, when you receive the Holy Ghost, it's really the beginning of the working of the Spirit of God in our life. Our doctrinal statement describes it this way, that we believe, and I'm not giving, this is not a direct quote, but I'm just kidding, that we believe that whenever a person is baptized in the Holy Ghost, that there is the sign evidence of speaking in other tongues. And it describes it this way. It is the initial or first physical evidence that of a person being baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's the first evidence. It's the first physical evidence or obvious evidence that that person has been baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's the first of many. It's the first of many, many things that God wants to do in our lives. After we are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you haven't arrived, really. You've just begun in this spiritual venture that God has for us to move into those things that God wants to accomplish in our lives. Just a few things I'll mention here tonight that I think are pretty important. And that is that the emphasis on the Holy Spirit never takes away from Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't emphasize the Holy Ghost and put Jesus to the side as if he doesn't matter. Oh no, even the working of the Spirit of God always exalts Jesus. It always honors the Lord Jesus Christ. We never go to the point that we say, oh, we're a Holy Spirit church, we're a Holy Ghost church, and we lose our emphasis upon salvation through the blood of Jesus, upon the work of the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus and the teachings and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, when the Holy Spirit is at work, it honors Jesus. It exalts Jesus. Amen. John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Amen. He shall testify of me. So every work of the Holy Ghost, every movement of the Holy Ghost, it all brings glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be Christ-centered, because that the Holy Ghost will always testify to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we always see that as important and valuable and has to be a priority. And what we believe about the Pentecostal experience, that Jesus Christ is honored and exalted. Amen. Glory to God. Another, talking about just a few things, the activities and the movement of the Spirit of God. It brings glory and honor to Jesus. It brings Holy Spirit conviction. Talk just a little bit about that this morning. But we know that conviction, the work of the Holy Spirit draws men, woos men, and convicts them or convinces them of their sinfulness. Amen. Because the flesh naturally looks at himself, and you know, no man ever hated his own flesh. Amen. We all see the good in ourselves. And you talk to most people out in the world, and their self-description will be, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. And for my own dad, that was one of the biggest hurdles for him to ever be saved, because he truly was. He was just a good moral man. I mean, when his bills came in the mail, he wrote the check that day. He paid his bills. He was just that kind of a guy. I mean, he worked hard. He was a good person. Probably had, you know, higher morals than some people that sat on church pews. And so that was an obstacle for him to understand that he needed to humble himself. And then he needed the Lord. Only the Spirit of God brings a man that's a good person to that place where they recognize, oh, I was born a sinner and I'm lost. I'm hopelessly lost. I need a Savior. I need to be forgiven of my sins. It's the Spirit of God that accomplishes that. Whenever you pray for your family, your lost loved ones, it's always in order to pray and ask God to move by His Holy Spirit on their life and on their thinking, on their confusion, and whatever the obstacle might be that is keeping them. The Holy Ghost can come and can convince men that they're lost and that they need the Lord. John 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. It's the working of the Spirit of God that convinces men of their sin. It awakens them to the reality. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I need the Lord. They're convicted of sin, of righteousness, to the point that they have to acknowledge that the only way that they can truly be righteous is if they can receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the only way of righteousness and of judgment. That the judgment of God is already upon the world and is already upon Satan and on everyone that's born into this world. They're born into sin and they're born under judgment. And they have to be convinced of that fact before. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the reasons why we need the Holy Spirit working in all of our lives. We need the Holy Spirit of God in our church services, in our families, in our homes. We need the Holy Spirit of God at work, because it brings the convincing work of the Holy Ghost to convince men of their need for God. Praise the Lord. Activities or actions of the Spirit of God. And one is regeneration. John 3:5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We need a new nature. We were born into sin, and our natural inclination is to sin against God. Isn't it true? I know it's hard. It's hard for me to believe it, but that precious little baby girl that I held this week, she seems perfect and sinless, but I know that one of the first words that's going to come out of her mouth is going to be, no. I know that one of the first things that little children do is they buck up and they resist authority and they're resistant to that which is good and right, because that Adamic nature is in them. And the seed of death is in them. And if they don't come to, when they come to the knowledge, of the saving knowledge in the age of accountability, whatever that age might be, when they come to that point, when they recognize that they're sinful and they're wrong, and many times it's when they're very, very young that they recognize that they need Jesus. They need to be saved. Amen. They need a divine nature. They need a new nature. And that comes by the Holy Spirit. this new nature whereby we are no longer what we were, but now we are living according to this divine nature, this righteousness of God in Christ that is given to us, a new nature by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The old song, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Amen. For a person to get saved, there has to be the movement and the activity of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For regeneration, the miracle of salvation, for a life to be changed, for this activity, this regeneration to take place, it is only by the Holy Spirit that people come to that place that they have new life and new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Just as in the book of Genesis, that God formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed life into him, so did Jesus, as we talked there from the Gospel of John, Jesus that stepped into that room of those unbelieving, fearful disciples, and he breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." That's when they received that regenerating force, that regenerating power. Hallelujah. You need that, and I need that. And there's a lot of people that are walking around that are somewhat religious, but they have never truly been born again of the Holy Spirit. It's a dangerous thing. Sometimes children can grow up in Christian homes. They can grow up in church services, and they just make this mental ascent to church. They know the songs. They know the routine. They know everything that we do, but there's never really been this supernatural transformation take place in their life. They've never been born again of the Holy Spirit. They've never been regenerated by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, it's a wonderful thing to recognize that God, by His Spirit, wants to not only change you and give you new life, but wants to dwell in you. The Apostle Paul said in more than one place, "Don't you know you not, that your body is the temple of the Spirit of God?" Your temple, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Know you not, this is 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Amen. So there is new life. You have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and He lives in you and dwells in you. That means He goes where you go. Amen. He listens to what you listen to. He watches what you watch. Amen. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why you present yourself in a godly manner. You dress appropriately, you're modest, and you're cautious and careful to present yourself in such a way that you would never bring shame or dishonor to the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the only way that you can really push out all of the things of this world. A lot of times we get so focused on, I got to get this out of my life and take care of this, and I wonder maybe if this displeases the Lord. Sometimes you can get such a focus on that you forget about the fact that what you really need is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And if you fill up your life with godly spiritual things, there will be no room for all of those things of this world. Amen. We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Many times we quench the Spirit and we grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because we don't consider the fact that our speech and our actions and our lifestyle and the places we go, the things that we do. Our brother this morning in the Sunday school class held up the two shakers, salt shakers, Brother Bowman. One filled with salt, the other filled with sugar. And he said that the problem is, at face value, you can't tell which is which. And it's true, isn't it? There ought to be something obvious about your lifestyle. The world should not have to question you and to try to find out if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be on your countenance. Amen. Amen. Your speech ought to reflect Jesus Christ. Your friends and associates ought to reflect Jesus Christ. Everything about you, your actions, your attitudes, your appearance, your dress, everything should reflect Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And if there's anything that gets thrown up as question, and I've said this a lot, it's not because it's me. I've heard it many, many times people make this statement. If it's questionable, if in doubt, don't. If you wonder, is this really what the Lord wants me to do? Is this the way he wants me to act? Is this pleasing to the Lord? If in doubt, don't do it. Amen. We do not want to reflect upon the Lord. We're reminded that Paul gives this reminder more than one place. One place he says, what? What? As if he's astonished. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you remember, don't you recognize the fact that as you walk around in the world, you are a representative of Jesus Christ and that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. He dwells in you. Amen. And we are active and we are moving and we are doing the things that we do because we're strengthened and empowered of the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just a couple of more things here. Stay with me now. The movement of the Spirit of God. He will lead us. He will guide us. This is such an important thing. This is such an important thing that because we have different times in our lives when there are critical times of decision in our life. All decisions are important. It seems like as you get older, maybe they're not quite as important, but really all decisions for every believer is very important. And we need to seek the Lord about our lives, about our future, and understand. But especially when you're very young, you're making decisions. And your life later on, many times, the direction of your life is set by a pattern of youthful decisions that you make. You make decisions when you're very young, and it sends you into a pathway, and many times you never ever considered, if I make this decision, where am I going to end up? And we make our decisions based upon what we want. Our decisions are based upon what we think is important and what others around us are saying. Yeah, you need to do that. You need to go that direction. You need to do this with your life without ever considering the fact that you belong to the Lord. Your life is not your own. And it's the Spirit of God in you that can guide you and can direct your life. Amen. I love the story of David Wilkerson's life as a young preacher. He's only in his 20s. He's pastoring a little church in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. And he just gets restless and begins to, you know, just not knowing what to do. Having some success there in a little country church. But one day, well, actually what preceded this was he decided to remove the television from his home. And the time that he was giving to watching TV, he decided to spend that time in prayer seeking the Lord. Not a bad idea. This was in the 50s. But now he seeks the Lord instead of all those things. And back then it was probably, you know, I Love Lucy and all kinds of real innocent things that was on TV. But he saw it as a time thief, and he just decided to seek the Lord. And while he was seeking the Lord over a process of a few months, one day he picks up Life magazine and he sees the picture of those young people who are on drugs in New York City. And it sets him there's no doubt that it was the Holy Spirit that was guiding him. He was seeking after God and desiring God's will and God's plan for his life. And now there are hundreds and hundreds of these teen challenge centers that are all over the world. And it is the most effective drug rehab in all of the world. It's the most successful centers for drug rehabilitation in all of the world. And the Lord used that effort as he went to New York and began to work with gangs and these that were involved in all these different things. And it was all because he focused on the Lord. He was led of the Spirit, and while it might have seemed strange and weird to some people, God led him into a place where he was able to affect the lives of thousands, millions of people for the glory of God. Oh, it's an important thing to be led of the Spirit. You cannot be led of the Spirit if you are not filled with the Spirit. Amen. You cannot. Every decision is important. Marrying, who you date, your work, your training, your school you go to, colleges, universities, all of these things. It's not just some decision at whim for the Spirit-filled believer. You're asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can you use my life? And I want to follow your will. And I want to, because I've placed my life into your hands. And many times we grieve the Spirit of God because we settle for second or third or fourth or fifth best. Whenever God had a perfect plan and he wanted to lead us by his Holy Spirit into the work that he had him to do. I was the summer that before I went to Bible school in the fall, I had absolutely no intentions of going to Neosho to Bible school. As a matter of fact, I had said repeatedly, I will not go to that school. I visited other colleges. I visited other Christian colleges and Bible colleges, a couple of them, maybe three of them, and was inquiring about different possibilities. I know I've told this story, but I see it now as critical for my future and for my life. But one day, my pastor called and said, I want to come by and pick you up and take you to a meeting. Okay. I thought I was, getting in trouble or something. I'd done something bad, but no. The Lord was going to use him. He took me to a meeting, and there I met a bunch of Bible school students from OBI, and Brother Branham was there, and Brother Branham came up to me and said, well, I think he called me Youngin. He called a lot of people Youngin. Youngin, are we going to see you up there this fall? And I was saying inside, no way. No way are you going to see me there. But God was using. He was arranging all of these things because he knew where I needed to be. He knew what he wanted to do in my life. Little did I know that that's where I was going to meet my wife, and that's how we were going to start out in ministry and all of these things. How important it is, how critical it is that we listen to the voice of the Lord, that we step in the direction of the will of God and be led of the Spirit. Amen. That he will guide us. We all have critical decisions, but some, no doubt even tonight in this service, you are making decisions that you'll live with for the rest of your life. Make sure that you're not deciding on a whim, but you are filled with the Spirit and you are directed of the Holy Ghost whenever you make these decisions. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just a couple other things here I'll say. Two more things. First of all, it's so important that there be a moving of the Spirit of God, and that when we come together, that our worship is Spirit initiated and Spirit empowered. Amen. Because it's in an atmosphere of the move of the Spirit of God that God can direct you and he can lead you and he can work in your life. And he wants to do that. And he can use all kinds of circumstances, even bad things that happen to you. He can use that. I was 13 years old when I went to youth camp. I didn't know that a couple of days before I went, that I'd went swimming in Oklahoma, we call them creeks. Some places they call them creeks or streams. Well, in Oklahoma, it's a creek. I'd went swimming with some of my brothers and some other guys in this creek and didn't realize that I had got into poison ivy. By the time I got to camp the first evening, I realized I was in trouble. And I was miserable the whole week. It was hot, and I was miserable. I was broke out, my neck, my back. I was just in a mess. And there was a little preacher, a little pastor that was there who took concern for me. And he was trying to help me out, and I wouldn't be in the classes or some of the services. I'd have to leave, and this little pastor was there with me, and he'd take me and get me medicated or whatever. I can't remember. They were, you know, calamine, you know, all that kind of stuff, and it was miserable. But all the time, I thought my whole week is messed up. But all the time, the Lord used that young man. I thought he was old then, but he was probably only in his early 30s. But the Lord used that man that week to care, take attention, give me attention and talk to me. And I can remember even to this day some of the things that he said to me, you know, about, you know, dedicating your life to the Lord. I was only maybe 13, 14 years old, but I remembered, you know, God arranges things, and sometimes even bad things and difficult things, God can arrange an opportunity. And so when we come to church, we need to remember how important it is that the service be Spirit-led and Spirit-directed, because who knows, those that might be there, that God is working in their life and talking to them and speaking to them. And then one more thing, and that is, if we're going to have an effective witness, we are going to have to be filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Filled with the Spirit to be able to be used of the Lord. To go out, to talk to people, to witness to those on the job or wherever that you are on a day in and day out. You have a voice, but your voice will not have the unction and the power that's needed unless you are filled with the Spirit. Whenever the Spirit of God is working in your life, there will be action, activity, movement. Amen. He will be doing things in your life. And through your life, when you're filled with the Spirit. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the fullness of the Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh, Lord, help us to be sensitive and attentive to your voice. Help us, Lord, to seek after your purpose and your will. Lord, to not allow the enemy to rob from us or to steal, Lord, those things that you're wanting to accomplish in us and through us. Lord, do the work tonight. Do a work tonight. And those, Lord, that may be making critical life decisions right now, Lord, that they would stop and that would not move any further until they have seriously and earnestly sought the Lord about the next step. In Jesus' name.